Hi, today I'm joined by Glenn Robertson, CEO of Pure Channels, and we're here to look at the CRN Sales and Marketing Awards and discuss how those roles might look in the new normal way of working. So Glenn, if I sort of give you a bit of a lengthy question to start with, if that's okay, can you just tell us a bit about Pure Channels and yourself, and also why you wanted to get involved with the SMAs this year?
Sure. Thanks very much for having me, Sarah. So Pure Channels is a full marketing agency, full service marketing agency, and we're actually this month 15 years old. So founded in 2005, we deliver marketing services to and through the channel, vendors, disties, and partners with 100% focus. And I think that, you know, if we talk a little bit about differentiation, that's entirely our difference. We're 100% channel focused and have been ever since the day we were founded in 2005. I'm CEO here. I've been at Pure Channels now for 8 years, and I've seen us go through several kind of changes along the way. And the reason that I wanted to become, you know, part of the SMAs again this year is that, you know, we have been involved every single year since the start of the SMAs. I believe we've been shortlisted at every single SMA event every year. We're the only agency to have ever won Best Channel Agency twice, being the current holders of it in 2019. And the reason I wanted to get involved in it this year, and that's involved not from a submission point of view, but in a sponsorship capacity, is because, you know, we as an agency, when lockdown hit and the pandemic took hold, we decided across the board that as an agency, we were not going to submit for any awards this year. And that's not CRN focus, that's any awards at all across the board. And we took that as a decision where we decided that we wanted to just knuckle down, focus on client service, focus on our clients, focus on prospects, and just focus on the quality of the output that we could create and deliver through the pandemic. We had no idea, obviously, how long it was going to last. We're still in it, and we're going well so far. But that was just this decision that we made. But because of our commitment to the SMAs across the years, you know, and how successful we've been, there was no way that I really wanted to have no involvement. So for this year, and we've done it a couple of times before, this year I wanted to absolutely maintain the support that Pure Channels has for the SMAs, and do so in a sponsorship capacity, in order to help support, help promote, and help advocate the fact that, yes, whilst not everybody's feeling like, you know, being in celebration mode, there's still an awful lot of recognition that should be taking place at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very appreciated as well. All the support is very much needed, and we need to keep these things going, don't we, basically? It's our duty. Indeed. So we can't avoid COVID, much as we all want to and want to forget about it. But sort of looking at COVID, what sort of impact do you think it's had on Channel Firm's sales strategy? Because I've heard, you know, at the start, there were cold calls were banned. People were encouraged to hug customers. Do you think it's caused a bit of a sea change in the way sales team will approach customers in the future?
I think there's an understanding and maybe a new acceptance that there is an alternative way of doing business. We've seen everything across the scale, if I'm honest. I mean, we've seen clients and vendor, disty, and partner clients, you know, ramp up their sales activity, ramp up their marketing activity, invest heavily at the moment, you know, which clearly is great for us, you know. But we've seen that, and the flip side of that is that we've seen, you know, a much more cautious approach, where people are kind of saying, we're not sure how this is going to play out. We're not sure how long this is going to last, and therefore we're just going to wind it back a bit in order to be a little bit more cautious. So we've seen a response right across the board. I think moving forward, I think people are becoming a little more understanding and accepting of alternative ways of working and alternative ways of business development and lead gen, and also demand gen, I think, is playing a big part at the moment. We're certainly seeing a shift away from the kind of direct mail and telemarketing and telesales type environments. And you're right, there were bans on telesales and telemarketing. So sales teams and marketing teams are generally looking for an alternative. And therefore, we are seeing an emergence of digital. And it sounds strange saying that because digital has been around for years. You know, and yes, we look at the way that the certain, you know, certain clients and certain organizations within the channel has responded to digital transformation, a term that you and I have discussed at length. And you know, and we've really found out, if you like, who has been able to transform and who hasn't. So I think the acceptance and the understanding of alternative methods in digital and in social media as well, there's a great number of platforms out there to be able to still connect with people, even though we feel somewhat unconnected or disconnected at the moment because we're not physically in the office. And actually physically being in the office is not, it seems, the be all and end all, because the wheels are still turning. The channel is still hugely vibrant. And there is still a load of great work being done. And it doesn't mean that we're constantly on the phone. We're just finding alternative ways of doing it. And I think coming out the other side, that's going to continue. And if that can continue at the same time as we combine some of the old traditional and tried and tested routes, like more telephone calls and like a return to direct mail, then actually there's going to be a whole load of brand new business ready to be done, because people are going to be doing it and making connections and finding new leads in a range of different ways. And that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sort of sticking with the marketing side, it's often the first budget that everyone cuts in a yeah. crisis. It's sort of, oh, quick, we need to make some cuts. Let's cut marketing. Do you think that's the right thing to do?
No.
That's an obvious question.
Yeah, no. So you know, strategically and from a general business standpoint, I genuinely don't think it's a good thing to do. You know, yes, I'm CEO of a marketing agency, and you know, so some people might think that that's obviously going to be my answer. But if we take a step back and look at it from a logistical or sensible point of view, during these times, it's, you know, I know we've never seen this time before, but during any time of, you know, of change, it's the worst thing that you could do is go off the radar. The worst thing that you can do is stop talking to people. The worst thing that you can do is stop connecting with your clients and your customers and your prospects, and stop even connecting with the employees that you have, that it's their role to maintain that activity. So, you know, these are great times to remind ourselves of the good habits, if you like, that we all should be doing. So can we communicate with our prospects, you know, maybe our hot prospect list, at least a couple of times a week with good, genuine, consistent communication? You know, that's really not going to do any harm, but it's a great habit when we come out the other side. This is about habit and behavior. And if we can maintain those good habits and good behaviors, then it's going to have a positive impact out the other side. So I genuinely believe that it is a bad idea to stop marketing. Because if we break it down again, you know, what is marketing if it's not just communicating with people and just helping people to understand more about not only what we do, but more importantly, how we might be able to help them? And that means that sometimes you know, you might have to take a hit, or it might have to cost you a little bit more, maybe extra money in terms of acquisition or cost, but in the long term, it will have huge benefits. And let's remember, there are not always many short-term wins in marketing. Okay, marketing is a long game, and it's so much better to play the long game without taking breaks, because the rewards come at some point. So carrying on with the marketing, carrying on with communication, remembering good behaviors, creating good, if not new, habits to maintain on the other side is only going to be positive if we're going to be looking at marketing versus no marketing.
Absolutely. And do you think, as we come out of this crisis, marketing will play an even more important role? Do you think attitudes will change?
I think they have done, and I think they're starting to already. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about this, and it's been a conversation that, obviously, you know, again, you and I, but many people across the UK channel and across the world have had for years and years and years. And that's the disconnect, or the connect, whichever way you like to look at it, between sales and marketing. And I think, you know, we have had almost been forced into becoming more collaborative. We've been forced into a greater understanding and acceptance of each other as human beings, and alongside that, a greater understanding of us and what we do in not only our personal lives, because we see each other in our home environments with the kids and the pets and the partners, and being sat up here in the loft, and you know, being sat in your home office. You know, there is a greater understanding of us as human beings and people, and therefore I'd also believe there's a knock-on effect to that. There's a greater understanding of our roles within the organization, and as a knock-on effect to that, I think there will be a breaking down of that disconnect between sales and marketing, and a greater understanding of how the two fit together. Because, you know, business development cannot be about one thing. It has to be a combination of more than one thing. And it has to be at least a combination of sales and marketing. That's absolutely correct, in my opinion, for the direct marketplace. But in the indirect space that we love and that we work in, there cannot be a disconnect between sales and marketing. You know, communication to and through partners, communication to and through and for and with partners, to DISTI. There are so many places for that process to fall down. If there are too many disconnects along the way, everything's going to end up, you know, falling on a heap, and nobody's going to be very happy, because sales will blame marketing and marketing will blame sales. But for me, it's about collaboration, good communication, and coming together.
Yeah, that's a good one. Talking of coming together, how do you think the channel has coped during this pandemic, and what's impressed you the most?
Oh, brilliantly. So I love this, because it's quite often we talk about the channel, okay, and it's quite often we talk about, even with friends and family, I talk about what is it you do again, and why do you work in the channel, and what industry is that, and it's
we all have that.
yeah right. But you know, it's great to see so many different people from different walks of life, from different organizations, genuinely coming together. And whether that's working in collaboration, whether that's working on, you know, projects, and you know, we know that partners have come together and distributors have come together in terms of being able to really put together, for example, the Nightingale Hospital, with, you know, a fantastic effort, and that couldn't have happened without the UK channel. There's just no way it would have happened. You know, we're seeing great initiatives from vendors that are, you know, about extended payment terms. We're seeing loans, you know, financial options from vendors. We're seeing some subject, you know, true to my heart, really very dear to my heart, which is the whole MDF piece, you know, in terms of helping partners to do more in terms of go to market and helping them to understand. And a big conversation I know that we've also had before around, you know, vendors becoming more understanding and accepting of the partner need, and being less dictatorial in terms of how they work and how they operate and how they take the message together, to market, sorry. And yes, the pandemic and the whole COVID-19 scenario has been devastating for a lot of people, and I think we all share great sympathy for that, but that shouldn't undermine the great work that has gone into the response that the UK channel has made, with a whole load of different initiatives, and actually as well, let's not forget, some really good business being done, whether that be at full price, or whether there being allowances being made, whether it be vendors offering discounts or alternative terms, or additional incentives. There's some really cool stuff going on, and I think the SMA is a great way to be able to recognise that, even if some organisations like ourselves, you know, have taken a decision not to submit and become part of it from that point of view. But in terms of supporting the awards, then that absolutely should continue.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue into my last question, actually. sort of focusing back on the awards, why do you think, sort of in the future, obviously when we've got through this, why do you think people should enter awards like the SMAs in the future?
Well, yeah, we all know the work that we do, right? So, and I mean that in general. We're all into it, and we get on with it every day. It's what we get up for in the morning. It's why we go to work, or it's why we come upstairs, or it's why we go into the conservatory at the moment. But having other people understand not only what you do, but why you do it is really, really important. For people that are currently in the channel, but maybe for people also that are trying to understand, or, you know, graduates, people, you guys at university, guys, you know, even at school and A-levels, trying to understand what's in this for me. Is there a career that I should be following? Is there something else that I should be understanding? You know, and the UK channel is just such a brilliant place to grow, to understand, to create a career, and to succeed in one. Yeah, you know, so we all do great work and we all know about it ourselves. Sharing that with other people for good is a really nice way for people to come together, understand. And the other thing is as well, you know, when you're sharing stories of success or perceived success or relative success, it kind of builds momentum and it builds emotion and it builds excitement and experience. And that then breeds positivity. And then we kind of might sound a little bit weird, but then we kind of all feel a little bit better about it. And that again then comes full cycle and helps us get up in the morning and helps us go to work and helps us enjoy what we do. So I think it's really important that we do share success. It's really important that we do share stories and stories of success or perceived success. And then also it's a way of helping people, ourselves and each other at whatever level, to learn and to experience something new. So entering awards, being recognised, you know, whether win, lose, or shortlist, is a great thing to do. Plus, albeit with the exception maybe of this year, but we will have a jolly good time as well, right? So we a lot of people know each other, and we use these events and stuff to network, to meet new people. A couple of people that I've spoken to recently about, you know, things like recruitment and stuff like that. It's a great way to put stuff on your CV and become recognised, either as a career move or as a career step.
Yeah, brilliant. Glenn, thank you so much for that insight and sharing your thoughts today. It's been really good to chat to you.
My pleasure.
And look forward to celebrating an awards very soon in a physical form as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thanks for your time, Glenn. Yeah, definitely. Thanks for your time, and we'll speak soon, I'm sure. Thank you.
Pleasure, Sarah. Thanks very much.